Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
I'm thankful. Let's turn to our Bibles in Luke chapter 4. Thank you to this wonderful music team. Put so much time in preparing to help lead us in worship each Sunday. Luke chapter 4, and if you just remain standing just a little bit longer while we read the Word. Amen. Luke chapter 4. We're going to read 8 verses, well, more than that, actually. We're going to read right down to verse 13. Amen. Have you got it in your Bible there today? It's also going to be on the screen. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Everyone say the wilderness. What led Jesus into the wilderness? He was led by the Spirit. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered and said, It is written. Everybody say, It is written. One of the best responses you can give the devil is to quote the Word of God back at him. Amen? The Word of God. Whatever the devil comes to you with any temptation, whatever you respond by saying, it is written. He may say to you, you know, this struggle's going to bring you down. You say, you know, it is written, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It is written. Everyone say, it is written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil then took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All the kingdoms of the world, everything in a moment of time. Just in a moment of time, he showed him everything the world had to offer. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it. And he says, the devil says, if thou wilt worship me, the devil says, I'll give it all. If you'll just worship me, and shall be mine. It's going to be yours. If you worship me, it's going to be yours. You can have it. And Jesus answered and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Everyone read the next couple of words. For it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and shall serve him only. And him only shall thou serve. Satan then brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of a temple and said to him, If you be the Son of God, then jump down or cast thyself down from this pinnacle, from this high place, from hence. Jesus responded, If where it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. So here it is. He says, You're going to be okay. You just jump. And Jesus answered and said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus responded, It is written. It is written. And then the devil said, You know what? Jump down off this pinnacle. He said, You're going to be okay. Just jump down. And Jesus said, No. You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. And the devil then ended all the temptation. Psalm chapter 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. Everyone say we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And there, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about today, if you picked up a theme, but the theme that I'm talking about today is worship. Satan said, if you worship me, you can have all of this. Worship. Then when they were there by the rivers of Babylon, the children of God, they had been taken captive and they lost their song. The Bible says they had hung up their harp. You may as well say they had hung up their worship. And they said, you know what? We can't sing when we're in captivity. We can't sing and worship when everything is going against us. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to minister on this title today. Your worship determines your destiny. Your worship determines your destiny. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, just for this moment, oh God, to hear your word. Lord, turn me into a microphone from heaven and hide me behind the cross. Lord God, I don't want anyone to hear my words, oh God, but Lord, they would hear you speak to their hearts. Lord God, let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Anoint your word today, Lord, that it will go to our ears, and not just to our ears, but to our hearts, that we would receive it with faith. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. You may be seated. Amen. Your worship determines your destiny. Everyone say destiny. We've just concluded a wonderful time of praise and worship. And the reason that we have praise and worship at the beginning of the service is not just because of tradition, and maybe to some extent it is. That's the way kind of church has been done for many centuries. But the reason that we have praise and worship first is to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. There is, for want of a better term, when we're praising and worshiping God, we're being warmed up. We're focusing our attention on God. We're praising Him. We're talking about and singing about who God is. We're thanking Him for what He's done. We're worshiping Him, we're communing with Him. And so that's the reason we start our service with praise and worship, because it helps us focus about what church is all about. Worship and the Word are both important. Everyone say both important. You know, some people over the years have had the attitude, let's just get through the songs and get to the good stuff. Get to the preaching. Yeah, and it's true. People are saved by the foolishness of preaching. But since when has receiving from God been more important than giving to God? It's a wrong mentality to say, let's get through these songs so we can get to the good stuff, because worship and the Word are both important in a church service. So don't have an attitude that says, well, let's get through these songs, we get to the meat and have a meal of the Word, because let me tell you, it's just as important to receive as it is to praise and worship God. And so maybe you've left service and said, you know what, worship was great today, I can't wait for next week. Worship was great, I can't wait for next week. And that's because sometimes we wrongly equate worship with the songs that we sing. Worship is much more than music. Worship is much more than praise and worship lyrics accompanied by music. Worship is a lifestyle. Everyone say a lifestyle. Worship is the life that we live. You see, you come to worship in song here, and then you leave and you don't stop worshiping, because you're worshiping God with the life that you live. Sacrifice is worship. Consecration is worship. We worship God with our whole life. With our whole life. Everyone say our whole life. Our time, we can worship God with our time by giving Him our time. We can worship God using our talents and our abilities, and God requires that of us. We can worship God with our giving, our treasure. It is all worship. Now, let me go into a few definitions here for the sake of understanding today. Worship services, we call them generally worship services, but there are many components to our worship service. There are songs of thanksgiving. Everyone say thanksgiving. In other words, that song of thanksgiving is dependent on the question, God, what have you done for me lately? And so we sing to God songs of thanksgiving, songs of thanks for what he's done in the past, for what he's doing now, and we may even sing songs of thanksgiving for what God is going to do. Because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So you can thank God for what he's done. And don't just thank him for what he's done this week or today. Thank him for what he's done in the past. Thank him for where he's brought you from. And thank him for what he's doing now. But also thanksgiving is an attitude of faith and saying, I thank God for what he is going to do. Everyone say thanksgiving. And we sing songs of thanksgiving here. And then the next type of songs that we sing are songs of praise. Praise is a little higher than thanksgiving because it's not just thanking God for what he has done. Praise is praising God for who he is. Amen? And God doesn't change. Thanksgiving is dependent on what he's done for you. But praise is not dependent on anything. Praise is dependent on who God is. And it doesn't matter if you're having a bad day. God still deserves the praise. You understand what I'm saying? That there's no excuse to come to church and they start singing songs of praise and stuff. I'm not having a good day. I'm not going to praise God. You know, God doesn't have bad days. You may have a bad day, but it doesn't change who God is. He's worthy of the praise. Praise is completely independent of your circumstances in life. Completely independent. The Bible says in Psalm 150 and verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. And so every single one of us are going to praise God in different ways. We got people who praise God demonstratively. They love to dance. We got other people, their praise is just the same. It's the same sincerity. They may be quiet, or they just may be lifting their hands quietly and praising God. Praise will be different for everyone, but everyone must praise God. You understand what I'm talking about today? It'll be different for our expression will be different to everyone else, but everyone must praise the Lord. Then we come to worship. Worship is the highest level because it's not just praising, thanking God for what he's done or praising God for who he is, but worship involves our life. We lay our life, as it were, on the altar. Worship comes from the word worship. When we worship God, we are ascribing value, we are attributing worth to God. And so the only thing necessary to praise God is breath. But to worship him, you have to give him your life and your heart. Everybody say worship. And the children of Israel, there they were in Babylonian captivity. And no doubt they were being mocked. And they went up to them. They knew that they were down. They were depressed. They were discouraged. The circumstances weren't great. They were going through a traumatic period of time. And they were mocking them and saying, come on, sing us a song. Sing a song. And they say they had already hung up their harps. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And let me tell you this today. The devil would want nothing more than to steal your joy, to stop you from worshiping God. He'd want you to come in the church, sucking your thumb, having a pity party, and not worshiping God. He thinks, if I could just steal their joy, they're not going to worship. He'd love nothing more than to stop you worshiping God. Satan knows, listen to me carefully, Satan knows the power of worship more than anyone. Let me say that again. Satan knows the power of worship more than anyone. Satan was the worship leader in heaven before he fell. And so I submit to you today that who or what you worship is the most critical choice you will ever make in determining your destiny. We all worship something. You say, I'm not a worshiper. Yes, you are. Maybe you worship yourself. Maybe you worship your things. Maybe you worship your job. Maybe you worship your emotions. You attribute worth to your emotions. Worship is to attribute worth to an object. And so I ask you today, the omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God, He loves us to worship Him. He loves worshipers, and we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And idolatry is anything that we worship before we worship God. Now, we think, well, you know, here in Australia, we don't have idols. There are no gold statues around or anything like that. No, we've become a lot more technical now these days. Our idols are different things. Like I said before, some people, their job comes before God. Some people, their money comes before God. Some people, their possessions come before God. And there's nothing wrong with having a job. And if you don't have a job, go get a job. There's nothing wrong with having money, but it must not come before God. There's nothing wrong with having possessions, but they must never come before God. There's nothing wrong with your time, but don't let your time be your time. Use it for the Lord. Don't let it come before God. And there's nothing wrong with having emotions. Many people serve the idol of emotions. You say, Pastor, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard. How could our emotions be an idol? An idol is anything that comes before God. And so your emotions can become an idol when you interpret God and you interpret your life through your emotions. Everything you interact with is through your emotions. In other words, you have made an idol of your emotions. You let them govern everything in your life, your interactions with other people. You let them govern your joy. You let them govern your praise and your worship. And when you do that, your emotions have become an idol. Now we go to our text in Luke chapter 4. And we have this confrontation between Jesus Christ and Satan. Each challenge from Satan, Jesus gives a response. And then the devil tries for the knockout punch. He says, what I really want is for you to bow down and worship me. This conversation is about one thing, Jesus. I want you to worship me. Now, I will admit that is an awkward text to read. Even to imagine or even visualize Jesus bowing down and worshiping Satan. But it's there. That interaction is there. And so the devil comes to tempt Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted. He's just like you and I. The Bible says in Hebrews that he was tempted in every way like you and I, but he never sinned. And so you can't say, this is unfair. This temptation is too much. Jesus says, I've been there. I know what it's like. He was tempted. He faced temptations just like us. You see, you got to understand that Jesus was God in flesh. He was fully God and fully man. He hungered as a man, but as divine, he fed 5,000. He prayed as a man, but as God, he answered prayer. And he was tempted just like you and I were, because he was a man just like you and I, but he never sinned. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I want to say, Jesus got some serious temptation thrown at him. The Bible says Satan showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's a lot of temptation. The devil was able to overload the fleshly side of Jesus with everything that the world has to offer. He was able to overload the fleshly side of Jesus with everything that the world has to offer in a moment of time. The devil's saying, I've offered you all these things, but it's not just about that. I ultimately want you to bow down and worship me. And if you will worship me, I will give you everything. And this is no doubt a self-centered power play by Satan. The devil seems to understand something about worship, and we shouldn't be surprised, because he was the worship leader in heaven before he fell. He seems to understand, listen to me carefully right now, he seems to understand something about worship. Why does Satan want to tempt Jesus to worship him? You see, Satan understands this important principle of worship. Listen to this principle of worship, and if you're taking notes, write it down. That when we worship, everyone say worship. In the act of worship, power is transferred from the worshiper to the one being worshiped. Power is transferred from the worshiper to the one being worshiped. So whatever you worship, whatever you attribute worth to in worship, you are transferring power to that thing. And so the devil was saying, if I can get Jesus to worship me, there will be an exchange of power. Are you listening today? If Jesus would worship me, there will be a shift in the heavenlies. If Jesus would worship me, there would be spiritual dominion would be transferred. That control would be transferred from the worshiper to the one being worshiped. And this is important for us today as worshipers. In the act of worship, power is transferred from the one who is worshiping to the one being worshiped. Satan was not always the devil. He was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub. He was the worship leader in heaven. And the devil still works through music. Everyone say music. In fact, if you read the Bible, you'll see that Satan had music in him. And you can be very sure, if you'll just look at society, you'll see the power of music in changing our society. You look at young people and you think, why are they so angry and so wayward? And why do they have those attitudes? Just listen to the music they're listening to. Music, there is power in music. We have to be very careful what music we listen to. I encourage all of you, just listen to praise and worship. Listen to anointed vessels of worship and praise. Keep it clean, because you don't want the influence of the devil through music. And so the devil was able to see that, because he was there as the worship leader, he was able to see the power of worship. That when somebody worships something, that power is transferred. And so Jesus quickly said, he said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only wilt thou serve. Let me tell you, your worship will determine your destiny. Your worship will determine your destiny. I submit to you today, everyone under the sound of my voice, that who or what you worship is the most important choice you will ever make in terms of your soul's destiny. And I ask you this, what and who are you worshiping today? Oh, Pastor, I was here. I sang the songs. I'm a Christian. Now I ask you, what is coming first in your life? What are you attributing worship to, or worship? You see, worship affects the spiritual realm. When you worship, there is a shift of power from the one worshiping to the one being worshiped. And let me tell you, when we worship God, we shift power from us to Jesus. We shift power from us to God in our life. When you worship God, when you come to church and you lift up your hands and you lift up your voice, you are surrendering. You are saying, I'm not enough unless you come. I'm not enough. I'm worshiping you, Jesus. I want you to have the authority. I want you to have the power. I want you to be the Lord. I want you to be the master of my life. When you worship God with your life, when you worship God with your time, you're attributing worth to God. You're shifting power to God to work in your life. When you worship God with your talent, you're shifting power from you to Him and allowing God to work in your life. You are changing things when you worship. Worship. Worship shifts authority and control from us. Let me tell you, you'd be a fool to think that you can do this on your own. You'd be a fool to think that you don't need God. And let me tell you, the most beautiful thing every father in this place can do, and your children, they look up to you. They look up to you as the head of your house. They think you're the strongest man. The greatest thing you could show your children is to raise your hands in surrender and show your children that you are not enough, that you need God. And when they get older, they're going to realize, you know what? Even my dad, as great as dad was, he was a worshiper and he surrendered to God. They also will surrender their lives to Jesus as well and shift the power from them to God. I'm talking about the power of worship. I'm talking about the power of worship. Even in our giving, when we worship, and I talked about our time and our talent and our treasure, even as part of our worship service, and we worshiped in this way today, as we always do, through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. If you go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, and you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now here it is. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Worship me with your giving, with your substance. And look at this. When you do that, you are shifting power from yourself to God. When you give to God, you are allowing Him to have the power over your finances. I would much rather God be in control of my finances than me. And then He says, here it is, because you have given and you have shifted the power into God's hands, He said, prove me now. He said, because you've shifted the authority to me, if I will not open the windows of heaven, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out a blessing and there will not be enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Why and how can we receive those promises? Is when we worship God with our giving. You see, when you worship God, it's more than a song, our time, our talent, our treasure. When you worship God, you are shifting authority from yourself to God. I submit to you today that the most important choice that you could ever make in terms of your soul's destiny is who and what are you worshiping? Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord today if you receive it. We got to worship God in our crisis. Some of the most inspiring things is when I see people in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of their hardest and darkest days, they're able to worship God. And let me tell you, in the middle of your crisis, you need to shift the authority and the power to God and say, I surrender all. You need to turn it over to God and say, God, I'm unable to do a work. I'm not enough. I know that you are able. God, I shift the power from me to you in worship. And if you want the victory, whatever you're looking for the victory will come through worship. As I get ready to finish, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. And Jehoshaphat provides a wonderful example of the power of praise and worship. Everyone say, Jehoshaphat. That's good, you learned a long word. That's one of the easier ones in the Bible. But we see a wonderful example of the power of praise and worship. And this great multitude from Syria, they came against Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, he began to pray and fast. And in response, the Spirit of the Lord gave a word that they would not need to fight their battles. They prayed and fasted, and God said, you're not going to have to fight your battles. You're not going to have to fight this battle, but just position yourself, stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. You're not going to have to fight this battle. Now we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. It says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. Everyone say victory. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 18 says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, and they worshiped the Lord. They're getting ready to go into a battle, Brother Isaiah. And when everyone else is getting ready to go in a battle, they get their weapons. They start getting their defenses. But you know what the children of Israel did? They began to worship God. When you're going into a battle, church, when you're facing a crisis, don't hang up your harp on the willow. You can sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Jehoshaphat says, God, you're in control. All I need to do to win the victory is to submit myself, to transfer the power to you in worship. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army. There they go. The praise and worship is going out before the army. And they praise the Lord. They said, for his mercy endureth forever. They're transferring power to God. The transfer of power is going to God. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, and they were all smitten. Let me tell you, if you're looking for victory over something today, your victory will come through worship. You don't have to fight your battles. This is how I fight my battles. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to attribute worth. It's not about who I am. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what I have got. It's about who he is. And I'm going to worship in the midst of my crisis. I'm going to worship God in the midst of my battle. You see, worship is the transfer of power. When we think about Job, now I always cringe when people tell me they're having a Job moment, because I really have never met anybody that has really been in such a dark place as Job. But maybe today you're in a dark place. Job was there. Job was at the top of the world at one point. The next moment, everything is turned upside down and inside out. His life has collapsed. But what does Job do? He worships. That's the best thing to do. He said, I got no power. God, I'm worshiping. I'm transferring all the authority and I'm transferring all the power to you. And when it looked like nothing good was happening, Job worshiped. He praised God. Let me tell you, you can grow through tough times. Let me say that again. You can grow through tough times when you worship. The Bible says of Job that his latter days were greater than his former days. Why? How did that happen? Job grew through worship. It's time for us to stop throwing our pity parties and sucking our thumb and saying, poor me. God knows what you're going through, but he's waiting for you. He's saying, why don't you worship me? Why don't you put me first in your life? There is a worship that will change everything. It will break all the chains off your life. When I think about the man among the tombs, he was tormented. He had so many demons in him. I don't know. He was there living amongst the tombs. Nobody wanted to come and see him. The only people that came to see him were to put more chains on him. He had no hope, no value. Made a lot of bad choices. He was living among the tombs. But Jesus comes. Everyone say, Jesus comes. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He ran and he worshipped him. There he was with every problem you could imagine. 2,000 demons inside. That's a lot of wrong. That's a lot of problems. But when he saw Jesus, he knew There needs to be a transfer of power from me. I can't do it. I got to transfer the power to Jesus. And he worshiped him. And they came to Jesus, verse 15, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion. And there he is sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were amazed. Why? Because he worshiped God. Whatever chains have you bound today, let me tell you, victory comes through worship. Maybe you're going through a crisis. It's time to worship God. Let's all stand all across this place right now. You see, you can get your breakthrough if you would worship God. So Satan comes to Jesus. He says, I'm going to tempt him. I'm going to tempt Jesus. Because what I want ultimately is I want Jesus to worship me. That's what I've always wanted. It was his pride in heaven that caused him to be cast out. He said, I'll have another go. He says to Jesus, he said, I'll give you it all. You know, he showed him everything the world had to offer in a moment of time for the one purpose that Jesus would worship him. Because the devil knows something about worship. He says, if Jesus would worship me, there would be power transferred from him to me. And you know, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The devil says, I want that power. And let me tell you today, the devil would want to do nothing more than to steal your praise and worship. Because when you do that, you transfer power to him. He don't want you to have the power of God working in your life. He'll try to tempt you with whatever he can. He'll try to steal your joy. But ultimately, he's trying to get you to stop worshiping God. Worship will determine your destiny. Your worship will determine your week. Let me tell you, you want to have a good week? Start it off with praise and worship. You want to have a good day? Start it off with praise and worship. If you're driving in your car and you're frustrated, start praising and worshiping God. Because when you do it, you're transferring power to God in your life. Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices. Let's lift our hands and let's worship God right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances, whatever issues, whatever sickness, whatever addictions, whatever things you're struggling with, maybe you're bound with chains today. I want to tell you, your victory will come when you worship God. Come on, let's worship him right now. Oh, yes, we love you, Jesus.